You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today, we've got a big old review show for you as we talk about A Bronx Tale, In a Booth That Chastens, and The Color Purple. Enjoy.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host, writer, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott. Welcome.
Welcome.
We're very excited to share reviews of three shows with you today. But first, let's get to some LA theater buzz.
Well, the Pie Diner is open in the OC. You remember I saw Waitress at Pantages a couple of months ago, and it was such a lovely surprise, a little slice of heaven, as it's been called. But yes, Waitress is on now at Sagerstrom Center for the Arts in Costa Mesa. Interestingly, I was raving about the entire cast. All three leads playing the waitresses are no longer with this production.
Really?
I'm guessing they've been snapped up. I know one of the gals who played Dawn went to Broadway to do that role, and
excellent.
I'm guessing the other two got snapped up when they were here in L.A. for something. So we have three new leads, and one of them is Christine Dwyer, who I saw in Finding Neverland last year, who's just beautiful. She has the most beautiful voice. So she's taken over the lead role of Jenna. So get to Sagerstrom Center if you can. It's on through November 25th, if I can read my left-handed writing correctly. Hopefully it is November 25th. And the website for tickets is scfta.org, like Sagerstrom Center for the Arts, scfta.org.
Perfect. Lara, I know you're going to love this one. Hooligan Theater Company will open their 14th season with a renowned stage adaptation of one of my favorite musicals, Singing in the Rain.
Yay.
And I know you love that film.
I want to swing around a lamppost just hearing that.
Hooligan will be performing this timeless and beloved piece on November 30th and December 1st in UCLA's Freud Playhouse. And for tickets, go to hooligantheater.org. So, Lara, as you know, I got a chance to see Bronx Tale on an opening night, and it was at the beautiful Pantages Theater, and I caught up with some of the cast members to ask them how it felt to bring their Bronx Tale to Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Michelle Aravena. I'm playing Rosina in A Bronx Tale. This is our opening in L.A., and I've been to this theater about three times with three different shows, and there's something always a little heightened when we come to Hollywood from New York or from Broadway. Everything is just so star-studded, and we always get really excited as to who's going to show up at our show, and so the excitement is a little overboard, and we love it. We're so excited to be here.
My name is Brittany Williams. I'm the only female swing, so I cover both the Webster girls and the Italian girls. The Pantages Theater is gorgeous, and when I first walked in, I was just staring at the ceiling for like a good 5 minutes, and everyone thought I was crazy, but it's gorgeous. This is my first tour ever. It's just been like an amazing experience. Already. Of course, the weather doesn't hurt with it being so warm here and so gorgeous. I feel like it's just a very chill vibe, a very different vibe.
Hi, I'm Mike Backus. I'm playing Eddie Mush in A Bronx Tale, the musical on tour. I think this is an important story that needs to be told. So it's a great honor that we're serving here in LA and around the rest of the country, because it really is a beautiful story that relates to everyone. It's about family. It's about love. It's about understanding and the choices that we make and how that affects our lives. This is a beautiful venue. I think it's the most beautiful venue I've ever played on tour. Yeah. Gorgeous. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, this is Joe Barbara. I play Sonny in A Bronx Tale at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood now through November 25th. We are so pumped to bring the Bronx to Southern California. Come check us out.
I love his accent. It makes me feel like I'm on the East Coast. And Will, I was so sad that I couldn't go. I was all set, and then a babysitter canceled at the last minute. So I took the kids to see The Grinch. But I was thinking of you.
It was so much fun. Okay, so this whole podcasting thing is relatively new to me, but having all of my gear and showing up and being like legit press on the red carpet and like fielding questions from all of the stars of the show as they come through, it was incredible. Yeah. It was really so exciting, and it was so much fun to be at the Pantages Theater just having a ball. And the show was, okay, so it's a relatively new show. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was watching an American classic.
And this is based on Chaz Palminteri's one-man show. So this is based on a true story.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. It had all of the elements of a classic Broadway musical, like from the incredible ensemble, the beautiful scenes, the music by Alan Menken, the choreography was fantastic, and then the story was just so compelling and not what I expected at all.
In what way?
It was a commentary on race in America during that time and how, like, people didn't, like, you stuck to your stoop and your part of town and you didn't cross over. So if this section was predominantly Italian, this part was African-American, never the twain should meet. And watching that Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story kind of element came to mind. It was so cool. Because at first I sat down and I was like, okay, I'm watching Jersey Boys. And then it's like, because that's what the commercial says. It's like Jersey Boys meets West Side Story. It completely was, but in the most wonderful way. And the casting was just incredible. It was like any of these guys could have been on The Sopranos. Like all of the dancers were beautiful. The little boy who played the narrator during the beginning was so fantastic. Like he's just his beautiful voice, incredible comedy. It was incredible. I went stag to the theater. I was there all by myself, but I was fortunate enough to sit in the house next to, I want to say, six different couples of season ticket holders. And these were six completely, like, they were all, I can only imagine they were strangers before they got their tickets, but they've been going for years. So every single production, they reunite, they have about 15 minutes of chit-chat, then they sit quietly in the dark, and they have this experience, and then the lights come up, and they say goodbye to each other, and they don't see each other again until the next show. But over the years, they've become friends. And they catch a, how's your daughter? How's the wedding? It was so cool. And then they know other season ticket holders, they're like, that guy up there in the front, he's been a season ticket holder for 25 years. And like, they like know like the goss. Like,
giving you the lay of the land.
The hot goss in the Pantages Theater. It was so, it was so fun, like, to hear the husbands talking, and they were talking about how excited they are for Hello, Dolly! That's coming up, and that all the different productions.
Yeah, because it's so classic next season.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's straight up American classics. It's crazy.
But you know what, Will? That almost sounds like a show, and you could do it where we're speeding through people's lives over the years based around all of these different shows, and you could do clips of all the different shows. I've just come up with a musical. You're welcome. We have Melanie, who's a writer right here. She can do it. Yeah, what's Alan Menken doing? Does he have some free time?
It was his music was so good, and I really, really enjoyed the production.
Oh, wonderful. And it's not here that long, right? Like I think another week.
Yeah,
so check out the Pantages. Everything there is excellent. And up next is Wicked.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really fun because there are so many wonderful places to see a show in Southern California. And as we've mentioned, we're bringing in help. Like, we need people to help us. So we're calling in our friends. Melanie Hooks is one of those. She's a well-respected reviewer and writer. In fact, maybe she can tell us about her screenplay in a minute if it's not top secret. Mm-hmm. We're so happy that she has joined our podcast ensemble to help cover shows here in SoCal. And today we're going to chat with her about opening night of In a Booth at Chasen's at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood last Sunday. Melanie, welcome to West of Broadway.
Thank you. It is a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, my love.
Well, thank you for joining us, and hello to your cousin Brittany, who is here hanging out.
Brittany in the house.
This is exciting. We have actual live people here in the studio with this. All right, so Mel, you texted me on Sunday and said, this is quite the scene, and you had a couple of photos from the red carpet. Can you describe that scene for us on opening night?
Certainly. It is gorgeous. If you haven't been to the El Portal in North Hollywood, you certainly should check it out. It is an old 1920s classic movie theater and live stage theater. Just gorgeous. And a lot of the people who were there on the red carpet had white hair. A lot of them were there because of the subject matter. They clearly had known the Reagans and were in Hollywood and players in that period of time.
Wow.
So it was very exciting. There's cocktails and canapes and, you couldn't move. It was quite challenging because there were several guests in wheelchairs, and they actually became celebrities because they got their path cleared.
Yeah,
all the way through, all the way through the madness. And there was an original booth from Chasen's, which was a really big, hot Hollywood hangout for many, many years. And they had one of them on loan, even though the building has long since gone.
They saved a booth.
They saved a booth. It was beautiful. You know, the deep mahogany wood and the green, you know, leather. Whatever it really was, sitting there, and everybody's eating and chatting around. It was a lot of fun.
I feel glamorous just hearing you talk about that. You know, because, I mean, there's not a whole lot of places left. Well,
they're
I mean,
not.
There are places, but it feels like they're disappearing every day. We hear about efforts to save them. And that's one of the great things about being here in L.A. is that people are so historically minded like that. But so Chasen's, this fabulous hotspot from back in the glamour days of Hollywood. Did the show have that feel? Like, you know, there's only two actors in the show. Can you describe what the show was like?
Yeah, it gives it an interesting feeling, just having those two, because you're just concentrating on the courtship. It literally only covers the 2 years that those two people were dating, Ron and Nancy Reagan, when she was just an ingenue in Hollywood, and he was already well-established and divorced, or divorcing when the show opens. So the people who do the music actually, I thought, did a really good job of capturing their personalities in the songs, which is very talented. And we'll get into the music in a second. But the writer and poet Sam Bennett did the book and brings just a great sense of both of those people. Neither one of them share easily. And so it actually has a polished feel, partly because those characters aren't going to let you in, but for one or two moments during the show, you really get into who they were and what drove them.
That's fascinating. Speaking of Ron and Nancy, did your opinion or your what you thought of them before the show change by the end of the show?
It did. I actually have to admit, I went in a little jaded and a little hesitant to trust those characters because I knew that Ronald Reagan was heavily involved in cooperating with the House on Un-American Activities, and they did not shirk away from that in the show. The director, Kay Cole, you could tell that was going to be a main thrust of the show. It opens with him meeting Nancy Reagan as a starlet on a blind date because she's trying to convince him to get her off the blacklist. Because she had been blacklisted.
Wow.
Right. And she's claiming to not be a communist. And he says, oh, well, I know that. And of course, she has nice legs. So that helps.
That's how Ron and Nancy met?
That's how they met.
I had no idea.
Yeah. One of their friends, who was an actor, set them up to try and get her off of the blacklist. And he did. And then actually one of the stranger musical numbers, the only one that really sort of caught me off guard, was him singing about his political beliefs, because he's talking about how he really believes in the strength of the freedom of the American press and how people should get to represent themselves and not be tarred and feathered just because of name calling. So he really is presenting himself as a very fair-minded person who was genuinely frightened of communism and used his position as the head of the Screen Actors Guild to try and save America or the freedom of the American screenplay. So it's a different. I got really a lot of insight into her because you realize as a woman of her period, she had no ambition that was socially acceptable. So although she starts off as a starlet, you can immediately see her seeing somebody of greatness with great potential in Ronald, and she's already trying to push him into politics, which he had no interest in.
Wow.
So you can see she's already the woman behind him.
It's kind of like Eva Perón in Evita.
It really is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And she has a big number like that.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, yeah,
which you do not expect from Nancy Reagan.
So she comes out and belts out a number
about. She
does. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to give too much
in
away.
In red.
But, oh, the woman in red. Danger. Dangerous woman.
If you're going to have Kelly Dorney play the role, you're going to have
there
a
you
belt.
We liked her.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
You can feel that she's contained for part of it, and then she gets to let it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which is great. And then she pulls it back in.
So you enjoyed the music.
I did.
And this was opening night.
It was.
And, you know, I saw a musical called Cagney, based on James Cagney, that opened there. It was a whole year ago now. It popped up as a Facebook memory. And I remember everybody in that theater, we kind of had the feeling that this could go to Broadway. This is something that could be that big. Mm-hmm. What did you think about this one? Do you feel like there's some more life for this one after this run at the El Portal? It's a very short run.
It's a very short run. It's only through November 25th. I'm not certain that it's going to catch fire like a show like that did, just because The interest base for it might be a little bit more limited, and it is only about their courtship. So essentially, it really is a love story. I almost felt like limiting it to two actors actually limits the power of the world that they were living in, because it really is only about those two people. I felt so there's no big dance numbers. There's no big, you know, like
tap
a big
dancing
chorus
girls.
Line.
Yeah.
Right. That comes. It almost plays like a smaller black box play, but with music and big stars. Wow. and big personalities. So it might be a more difficult sell for a Broadway type. Mm-hmm. I think it would do well in regional theater because it's a great showcase for two actors, but it's not huge. You
right.
know, the scope of a show maybe isn't a Broadway type show.
Yeah, but a very talented team behind it.
Very
and
talented.
What a chance for two actors to shine.
And they did.
And carry this whole thing. Well, let's talk about the famous Chasen's Chili because they were serving up some food there. How cool
yes,
is that?
Yes, yes. Fantastic. They actually had the Chasen's Chili and the cream corn chowder. And they were both incredibly delicious. They had a whole big festival of fixings that you could add on. And there's even lines, of course, in the play about the chili and whether you should or should not have that on a date. Right, because that's what it's actually famous for. Which is a good question, I thought. Yeah, and the music, I said I was going to reference that, and I totally forgot, but Alkasha and Phil Swan, Tony-nominated Academy Award winner for Alkasha. So they do just a beautiful, beautiful job. It's lively, it's catchy, a good sense of the characters, and really the most successful numbers are when they're arguing. You know, it's always so fun to have one of those,
sure.
you know, potato, potato
Absolutely.
Types of songs. So, and there's several love songs that are very sweet, but I thought when they were arguing was far sweeter. In a strange way.
Well, let's talk about your own personal projects, because I was bragging to Will. I'm like, you're working
you're so
on some
sweet.
Stuff that's really cool.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, Laura and I actually have old Hollywood in common. I've just finished writing a pilot that I've worked on for 3 years of research about the code, which is the production code that in the end leads to censorship of Hollywood right after the 1929 coming of sound. So it features Frances Marion and a whole cast of amazing female screenwriters, because back in the day, 50% of screenwriters were women, which is incredible. Before
right.
1929.
We were so shocked to hear that
we
statistic because we always heard that it was the guys running everything.
Correct.
And for a while it was. But before that, it was the women.
Correct.
And now the women are coming back, which is amazing.
A lot of women are coming back.
Yeah. So will we see the screenplay brought to life soon? Or
if any representatives or agents are listening.
Yes.
Well, MelanieHooks.com.
I was going to say, yeah. What's your contact info so we can keep
sure.
up with you?
MelanieHooks.com is a great place to find me online. And then Melanie13. MelaKnee 13 are my handle on all social media.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Great.
And you know what? Thank you so much for going to check out In a Booth at Chasen's.
You're
I'm glad
it was a pleasure.
That you enjoyed yourself. And
thank
do you,
you
have the info for tickets, theater info?
I do not.
Oh, wait. I remember In a Booth at Chasen's.com.
In a Booth at Chasen's.com. It's El Portal Theater, North Hollywood. Easily found.
Well, we talked to Ron and Nancy on one of our previous episodes, Kelly and Brett, and
love
they
it.
Were lovely. And
love
you could
it.
Tell that they were putting so much of themselves into it.
Right.
So I'm really happy for them. I'm glad it was such a great opening night. All right.
Great. Thank you for sending me.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
In our last episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with two of the stars of Greenway Court Theater's production of The Color Purple. Well, the show has opened to great success, and the audiences are walking away truly moved and inspired by this powerful story and the exceptional cast.
Yes, and we'd like to welcome two more new ensemble members to the podcast, Elizabeth Lucen and Craig Sherman, who are incredible actors and voiceover talents. And Craig and I know each other from radio. They were at the press opening last Saturday, and I'm so curious to hear more about the show because it sounded so powerful, like you were saying, Will. Craig and Elizabeth, welcome to West of
Yay.
Broadway. Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we're so happy that you got an opportunity to see the production. Lara and I have yet to see it, but we heard it was beautiful and very intimate. We would love to know your opinion of the show.
Well, I totally agree. The theater was so charming and comfortable, very, very intimate. It wasn't one that I had been to before. It was a smaller theater, you know, when you think of, like, compared to obviously the Pantages or Amundsen or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the production was no less impressive. And in fact, this show worked wonderfully in that intimate space, I think even more so than it would have on the big stage.
Wow.
Well, really, the the stage just kind of had an exterior of a cottage or home of the time period, and it was really simplistic but beautiful. And there were a couple hanging fixtures coming from the ceiling, and everything was just kind of a neutral ground, which I thought was really powerful because really it was just the actors that told the story and got you so invested. You weren't looking at anything bright or flashy. You were just so focused on everyone bringing the story to life, and they're really the heart of what actually pulled you in.
Was this your first experience with this production? Had you seen any other versions?
I had not.
So we got one and
I yes and no.
In college.
Oh, okay.
And to be honest, I didn't really love it that much. I'm not sure why, but I think when I went to see this version, my opinion completely changed. I think really the intimacy of the venue and being able to connect with the talent that closely really allowed the audience to feel like they were a part of the story. And I was very moved and had tears in my eyes several times. And it felt like such a powerful and connected piece. And I was shocked on how different my opinion was having seen it, you know, probably 10 years ago.
The way they used set pieces, as opposed to the actual exterior set, they used the set pieces to change the different locations. And with you being so close to the audience, you actually felt like you were right there in the middle of the church revival or right there in the juke joint.
Now, did you feel like you could follow along, Craig? Because I saw the show for the first time recently, and it took me a minute to kind of figure out who was who and what was happening and how they were connected. Were you able to just kind of jump right in and go with it from the beginning?
In fact, Elizabeth and I actually talked about that. There were some confusing plot points and moments where all of a sudden someone was married to someone else and you didn't really see that coming. And that's did I miss something? And it seemed like later on as the show was, you know, winding up, it had progressed over a multi-decade period. But you didn't really see the passage of time until suddenly at the end when they were all old.
Right. That makes I can see how that could be easily. That makes a lot of sense. What was funny for me is when we interviewed April Nixon and Gabrielle Jackson recently.
Shugit Seeley.
Yeah, they, especially April, she was so confident that they have a wonderful, beautiful, like you could just, she was excited for an audience so that she could really perform this mm-hmm. role. Like I could just tell, like what were their performances like?
They were both amazing. To be honest, the entire cast was wonderful. I was going through the program thinking about everyone, and I was like, oh, I have to talk about this person. Oh, I have to talk about that person, because everybody really had a standout performance in their own way, which I don't feel that I often walk away from a theatrical piece feeling that way. But really, truly, I felt like everyone was so well cast. Gabrielle and April, like you were talking about, they were both powerhouses in their own rights, and I really felt connected to every character, to be honest, and I was so surprised and excited by that.
And Craig, I thought that
in addition to the incredible voices, all of the acting was very authentic and genuine. I particularly liked Aaron Braxton, who played Mister, just so believable. Just and all these guys really just in the moment the whole time.
How did you guys feel walking out of there? Because I remember saying to Will after we saw it, I just want to go sit somewhere and kind of process what I've just seen, because you've been on this incredible journey. And just, you know, with this time and this time that we're living in right now, how timely this great story is. You know, how did you guys feel when you walked out of the theater Saturday night?
To be honest, I felt like, you know, I was really touched by Aaron Braxton's character, like you were saying, Craig, that played Mister, because you really saw what a pivotal transformation that character had. And I spent the entire time kind of hating him throughout the show, his demeanor. Mm-hmm. And then I really left in tears, wanting him to succeed and wanting him to find redemption. And it just really, it made me feel like it's really never too late to express and rewrite the wrongs in your life and to really make a change for the better for yourself and other people around you. That really touched me.
And I agree. It was very powerful in a lot of ways. And Seeley's journey, I thought, was especially relevant to much of what's going on in society today with a lot of the struggles that minorities face. And then at the end, that message of change and redemption and hopefulness left you feeling very inspired as you walked out.
What I loved about Celia's character, too, is that although she kept facing incredibly difficult situations the entire show, she kept going. She never gave up. And, you know, although her character could have been weakened by a situation, she was exceptionally strong, and her strength just continued to grow. And I think Gabrielle was a perfect casting choice in that regard, because she really grew with the story. And I just felt like she ended on top of the mountain with a happy ending that I was really longing for. So that made me very happy.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it really is a perfect ending. Well, really quickly, before we give some ticket info on the show, I want to ask, because you two were just in a production of Mary Poppins in Glendale at a wonderful theater there. Yeah. Do you have any other projects coming up that we can watch out for?
I'm actually working on a show right now in Simi Valley at the Cultural Arts Center called Plaid Tidings.
I love that.
Show. It's running December 15th through the 30th.
Perfect.
It's just a fun Christmas musical review with four guys who form the group Forever Plaid. And it's just good Christmas entertainment for the whole family.
Love it.
That does sound really fun. Elizabeth, anything coming up for you?
Well, I just finished final callbacks for a show, so I can't really say just yet what it is, but I have a good feeling it's going to work out. It was really a really good experience. Oh, I just wanted to add one more thing, because something really cool happened at the end of the show. We actually had no idea that the writer of The Color Purple, Ali Willis, was actually sitting right behind Craig and I the entire time, one of the writers of the show.
Were you guys hopefully clapping at the right moments then? Being a really good audience member.
It was actually her birthday, and everyone sang happy birthday to her.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that incredible? Like, when something just out of the ordinary happens like that, like, you know you're going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
It was so special, and I was so happy for her, because it was such an amazing production, and I felt like, wow, what must it feel like to be able to sit in the audience and think, wow, I helped write this and make it happen, and look how it's affecting all these people sitting here watching it right now. And you could tell she was thrilled, and the cast was thrilled, rightfully so. And it was just a really special moment to be a part of, for sure. It is running November 9th to December 9th at the Greenway Court Theater, which is on Fairfax Avenue, right near, not too far from the Grove in Canner's Deli. And their website is greenwaycourttheater.org. So you can definitely go on there and get some tickets.
Yay.
And one of the best things about the theater was the free parking at the high school next door.
For anyone who lives in LA, you know that never happens, especially on a weekend. Yeah. Yes, on a weekend evening.
I feel like it's your reward for braving Fairfax.
Yes, for making it there. They're like, come on in and park for free. You made it this far. Well, Elizabeth Lucid and Craig Sherman, thank you so much for joining us on West of Broadway. That was a fantastic review. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, guys. I feel like we found a new theatrical gem, so I'm excited to go back and see what they have.
Well, that is it for today, an action-packed episode of West of Broadway. Thank you again, Melanie. Yay. Here in the studio with us. All right, you can check us out online and catch up on previous episodes at westofbroadwaypodcast.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode. And you can reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lara Scott Media.
And I'm Will Armstrong PR across all social platforms. Thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast. And if you're looking for us, remember, you can find us just west of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.